Win toss, bat first, get bowled out for 205 on day one. That was England's story on the first day of this fourth test in Ahmedabad. Hello and welcome to Hotspot Daily with me, Chetan Narula, and Daniel Norcross in London. Daniel, first thoughts, 205. Yes, the pitch was taking a bit of turn, but it was not doing too much for a majority of the day. Some of the shots, and we will come to them in more detail, some of the shots left so much to be desired. England, yes, they've lost the mental battle on a couple of occasions, but today, 205 is just not good enough. It just doesn't cut it.
It was their worst day, really, of the whole lot. And that's saying something after they've been bowled out for 81 and lost the match inside 2 days. But I think they'll probably be more disappointed with this than any other day of their entire winter, actually, which sounds harsh, but it's because they got the best of the conditions. There could be no complaint about the pitch. I don't think they really did complain about the last ones, but there's absolutely nothing in this pitch that screams 205 all out. You're right, there's a little bit of assistance there for the spinners. There's a little bit of assistance for the seamers, as it should be, in order to create an enthralling spectacle. And England got themselves into positions from which they will feel they should have kicked on. They had some marginal decisions go against them. Johnny Bairstow's LBW was a tough one. It was very tight. They had an unfortunate dismissal, Ollie Pope. I mean, I'm not sure I've seen that one before,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah.
Nutmegged inside edge, a good sharp catch as well, short leg to take it. So much, you know, unfortunate, you can say. But there was, what it felt to me, Chetan, was that they'd gone into this game deciding that they sort of were playing the previous test, really. And they had to battle against the spinners and be proactive, which was a good sign. It was a good sign of intent. But I don't think they're really comfortable with the method they were playing. And when you're not that comfortable with the way you're playing, then doubt comes in. And so you end up perhaps being overly aggressive. You saw that the dismissals of Crawley and Lawrence. And in the case of Stokes, I do wonder, there's talk that he's been a little bit ill the last few days. He batted really well for his half century and then missed a straight one. I don't know how many times we're going to say this during these four test matches, Chetan, but yes, he missed a straight one. So, look, it was very much India's day. England contributed to their downfall. There won't be too many people in that dressing room who can say, hand on heart, they got an absolute snorter. And they'll really feel they should have been sort of 250 for four at the end of today. Instead, they face the prospect of India batting on a decent pitch all day tomorrow. Maybe this is time for Kohli to get his 100 at last.
Oh, well, Pujara will get his 100 first before Kohli, as I mentioned yesterday.
Oh, I don't think he'll be first. It'll take a while.
We'll get there in a bit. But interesting that you mentioned that England are still playing the third test match, because the team selection almost looks like they are. In the third test match, they picked three pacers along with Ben Stokes. And then in this test match, they have got the extra batsman and they're like, okay, two spinners should do the job. Then we also have Joe Root. And for the new ball, you can have Ben Stokes and James Anderson sharing the new ball together. But again, looking at the way the day's play has progressed, just feels like, okay, they're bowled out for 205, but what's a number eight batsman going to do? What the top seven haven't been able to do. So, yes, they play the extra batsman, but what do you make of their team balance? They don't even have the extra pace bowler now, do they? And before you answer that, James Anderson playing his fourth test match out of five, which I thought was impossible, but clearly nothing is impossible for a 38-year-old James Anderson.
Well, I think on the Anderson point, I was quite surprised they selected him, but what we've got to remember is he's got very few miles in his legs from those four games. it was a two-day game last time and he didn't bowl a great deal in it. So they probably think, and he's had a week off. So I get their thinking. When we discussed this on the preview, I thought England would go in with an extra batter, actually. I was surprised that Anderson was playing, but I expected them to go with pace and spin.
Yeah.
Now, news is that Archer's elbow's a little bit wonky still, which is a concern, a serious concern. So it's quite surprised that Ollie Stone didn't get a go. When he has played this series, he's acquitted himself very well. I think with the extra batter, the reasoning was sound. It was if the pitch was going to be really grubby, then actually 30, 40 runs here and there, just to be able to have another partnership further down the order. They hated the look of that tail. Archer at eight, I think, spooked the selectors. It didn't really, you know, they didn't like the look of it. So the best coming back in was to be expected. The extra batter, I think, was to be expected. I just feel that every turn that England make, they sort of make the selection one test too late, don't they? And I feel for them in that respect, because they're groping, they're trying to work out the right solution. And each time they're being just outmaneuvered. And that can happen when you play away.
I think what they are missing is somebody like a Moeen Ali, who's a certified spin all-rounder. Yeah. And again, that really questions their rotation policy a lot. It's almost like England have said, okay, look, this year, what we are going to prioritize is the IPL. We're going to give our players playing time because perhaps they're missing playing too much, or there is a bit of uncertainty in these times financially, and at least the IPL will keep them secure. In fact, I even heard the news that some of the English players will miss the New Zealand series, the Test series, and continue to play late in the IPL. So that's a totally different issue, but that is an issue at the moment. But the bigger issue here is they will have a full strength T20 and ODI side, and there's a T20 World Cup in India later this year. So they're going full tilt. And you had mentioned in one of the earlier podcasts that England do want to be the double world champions. They do want to hold the T20 and the ODI World Cup together. And they have a good nucleus. There's no doubt about it. They have a good side. They made the final last time around in India. Fact of the matter is they have shortchanged this Test series. They might not have had the best chances of progressing to the World Test Championship, but we're just talking about this series in particular. This rotation policy, I feel, has shortchanged their chances. So it will always be a question mark. What if? What could have happened? Because they absolutely had that 1-0 lead, pitches or no pitches, turning tracks or no turning tracks. So a lot of question marks. But
just one thing on that point. Yeah. I think that I can see from that perspective, and it does make sense, because you know, you look at the way England have performed and you'd say, well, have they got their best team out there? I think actually another way of looking at it is that, you know, England have some very clearly defined test match batters in their side who don't play white ball. They've got Pope, they've got Crawley, they've got Sibley. Now, and indeed Dan Lawrence in this game. Now, that their issue really has been that the players that have been selected haven't scored the volume of runs.
Yeah.
You know, Sibley was bowled through the gate. Crawley came charging down the wicket. if they bat the way they're supposed to bat in the roles that are designated for them as test match openers, then I'm sure they'll be very aware of this. We would have a very different view on England's selection policy. Unfortunately, they haven't scored the runs. And so naturally, people are going to criticise.
Well, yes. And it's interesting that you mentioned those dismissals. I mean, you look at Zach Crawley's dismissal, you look at Dan Lawrence's dismissal. Zach Crawley looked $1 million in the last test match. So that was a pathetic shot selection. Might be a bit harsh, but felt like a pathetic shot selection.
Well, it's like playing the last test again, you see. That's sort of what I mean. I mean, I think there is that sense, well, the ball's going to turn square at any minute. So we've got to get proactive and get after the bowler. Now, you can understand that because that's what's in their head. But unfortunately, when it doesn't come off, it looks terrible.
But the thing is, it was looking very different because there was this graphic on Star Sports or the host broadcaster here showing the speed differential with which Akshar Patel was delivering the ball. And there was a massive gap, or there's a massive deficiency in pace there, almost around 15 to 27% across six deliveries. So clearly the pink ball was doing more. Clearly the pitch was doing more with the pink ball, and perhaps, and not perhaps, we saw through the day it was not doing as much. These were probably, in the three test matches that England have had, these were the best batting conditions. And then Zach Crawley goes and plays that shot. Okay, fine. But then you go lower down the order. And yes, Dan Lawrence, he's not batting in his regular spot. What can he do when the other 6-7 batsmen haven't done anything? He was still batting on 46 of 74 deliveries. He was set and he played a premeditated shot. He's just jumped out of the crease without seeing where the ball is pitching, without meeting the line of the ball. He just jumped out for hitting him out of the park. Yes, he was batting with the tail, but there's a difference between 205 and 250. I'm not saying they would have added 50 runs later on, but there's a difference, isn't there? 205, 250 looks only marginally better, but it still looks better.
Oh, yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, that is very much true. But I would say, you know, we've seen Rishabh Pant do that.
Yeah.
And charge down the wicket. The thing is that Rishabh Pant then usually deposits it over deep mid-wicket. So, you know, Dan Lawrence is a young man at the start of his career trying to find his game and trying to find a way of imprinting himself on the match. And he'd done that by being aggressive. So you could see why, you know, again, when you get out charging down the wicket and you're beaten on the outside edge, it always looks bad because you always say, well, you just didn't have to get out there. Unfortunately, a bit more goes into it, doesn't it? And I guess, you know, he had a bit of adrenaline pumping. He'd hit a couple of clean shots. It was a method that had been working for him. I have to say, it felt all a bit frenetic from where I was sitting and watching it. But that's because I think India had induced this sense of freneticism and panic in England over the course of the last two games before that, and indeed a little bit towards the end of the Chennai test, first Chennai test, when they bowled England out from the 200. So I think, you know, you've got to give a lot of credit to India's bowlers because he didn't give really anything away. The spinners on a pitch which wasn't really assisting them bowled just so tightly, didn't give four balls. It was, I mean, I counted the odd full toss and the odd long hop, but they were so odd that the batters felt they had to make all the running. And, you know, you've got that other feeling, which it often happens in a camp. This is why we love Test cricket and series of four matches, that, uh-oh, here we go again. So
exactly,
you,
you
lose a little bit of sense of perspective. You don't think to yourself, actually, this pitch is absolutely fine, just reset. You think, oh no, I've got my pads on again and we're only half an hour into the game and I'm batting down at five and what's going on in the dressing room? You know, so there's a bit of that going on.
Yes, and again, like I said, it's very, very relevant, the point that you've made here, because when I saw Ben Stokes batting the way he did today, six boundaries, two sixes, he scored half century of 121. From the outside, of course, it looked as if that's the best he's batted through the series. And of course, that's what the numbers tell you. But again, at the same time, I did not feel very comfortable watching him bat. It was not as if he was your in-form confident. I mean, you remember the heroics of Leeds and Headingley, where he was absolutely confident and you knew if there's one batsman who can carry you over the finish line, that is Ben Stokes. But today, you didn't feel that, of course. He's not been in that great run of form. There's a bit of confidence missing there. You know, you don't know how the pitch is going to behave or which ball is going to turn on you. But even then, why this is relevant is because even in scoring those runs and probably being their best batsman out there, he was not at all comfortable. And as you mentioned, India were able to induce those mistakes despite it not spinning as much as what probably people would have anticipated. That apparently, if we can say so, was this the best pitch of the series so far? Because India did not like the first test pitch.
Yeah,
England
did
not like the second and third test pitch.
Yeah,
I don't think there can be any complaints on the pitch in this match. I think, at least on day one, this is a proper test wicket, or at least Michael Vaughan is saying so.
Yeah. Well, no, I think he's absolutely right. I don't think anybody watching this day's play would think that it was a dull pitch. It wasn't a dull pitch that gave bowlers nothing. It gave bowlers something.
Yeah.
And if you bowled spin very well by varying your lines, varying your angle of delivery, using the crease, drawing batsmen forward and back, you could induce those, I say, panics, those uncertainties in the batters. And that's what we saw. We saw really good top quality spin bowling. We didn't see top quality batting, which is why I say, you know, it's a 250, 260 for 5 day, really, or 260 for four, something along those lines. And it's not a 205 all out. But this is, again, a function. You know, there's so many things that go into touring. Whenever you go away,
sometimes
you can get this momentum that's positive because, you know, you're tightly knit as a team and you're having success. And England had that at the start of the tour. And then you could be undone a bit. And don't forget, they're in bubbles as well. And there's talk of there being, you know, a bit of a stomach bug going around the camp, which doesn't help. I mean, part of the reason Ben Stokes didn't look too comfortable might be because he actually physically wasn't particularly comfortable. And he looked pretty drained at the end of the day. So, you know, there's all sorts of things that go into it, go into Test cricket being more than just, you know, what you see in front of you on the day. That's the accumulation of days and days of these teams playing against each other and of England not having found the method to be able to deal with it. They're a young team. They'll learn from it. They're not out of the match yet. I mean, let's face it, you know, if India collapse, if India play some foolish shots, if India's batsmen can miss straight balls, which they did in the last game,
well,
then England have a chance to come back. James Anderson, they couldn't score a run off James Anderson for five overs, and he picked up a wicket of Shubman Gill. Another tight, marginal decision, by the way. So I think one thing we've got to put to bed is any idea that the umpiring has been poor. I mean, these there have been some terrifically good umpiring decisions. When you get umpires' calls significant, you know, frequently or almost always going in favor of the on-field umpire, it gives you an idea of you know, the skill of the guy standing out in the middle. Shubman Gill, I think, will be a little bit aggrieved because, you know, when you get a marginal one, you don't like it. And he's had a poor run of form. He's not had a poor run of form because he looks $1 million every time he bats, but he hasn't really been able to get the runs. So for England, it's a huge warning tomorrow. They've got to make some early breakthroughs, or else this game, I'm afraid, could be a foregone conclusion by this time tomorrow.
First of all, what you said in terms of Shubman Gill and Johnny Bairstow, I think marginal calls, I think they balance themselves out, but the umpiring has been really good. There have been some contentious issues, but apart from the umpiring decisions, it's been more about the umpire's call, really, more than anything else. I need to mention Mohammad Siraj, and I think he has been an inspired change for India. He's been an inspired selection for India this winter of cricket, if I can say so. I love watching Siraj bowl, and I've said it on this podcast earlier with Deep Das Gupta as well. He gives me a very young Mohammad Shami vibes, full of life. Perhaps he's a bit more expressive than, say, Mohammad Shami is. He enjoys the adulation, isn't scared of enjoying himself on the field, which is even better to see it. But in terms of his bowling, the way he gets that bounce, the way he gets that movement, the way the ball skids and, you know, comes, rushes on to the batsman, he gives me a very young Shami vibe, and it'll be very, very interesting. And I'll be very interested to see his career develop from here. If he can become as good as Shami is now, Shami is a fantastic bowler right now, fantastic test bowler right now. If he can become that for India, I mean, India's base bowling, well, it's brimming, but it'll be even in healthier hands.
I tell you, I'd be fascinated to see him bowl in England, because I think he'll benefit from those conditions. I mean, Shami bowled superbly in England in the last tour. It was really unlucky, as I recall.
Yeah.
really unlucky. And you do feel, you're absolutely right, you do get that Shami feel to him. That the ball he got to get root out was such a Shami dismissal.
Yeah.
Skidded on it, sort of surprised root, and came back into him.
Yeah.
And it attacked a weakness. It was a very great bit of bowling, because it attacked what has been a little bit of a weakness for root, is being trapped in front, LBW, caught in the crease. So it's clever bowling as well from someone who's not that experienced at test level at all. And so, yeah, I think seeing him and Bumrah and Shami perhaps in tandem in English conditions, because you can be pretty certain that English pitches are going to be fairly green. That Duke's ball is really going to move around. I think there'll be no doubt about that. So I think England are going to find a different set of problems to deal
with.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And in fact, just before you said that, I saw a tweet about it, I think earlier in the day or last evening, I'm not sure, that, you know, one, India should have no complaints if England give raging green tops on their tour of England this summer. And I was like, yeah, sure. But best of luck handling, Ishan Sharma, Bhubaneswar Kumar, Siraj, Shami, and Jasprit Bumrah. I mean, Navdeep Saini and Umesh Yadav don't even make the cut. And then, of course, Jadeja will be fit and Ashwin will be the all-rounder. So two spin all-rounders and a battery of fast bowlers. So yeah, good luck, best of luck, make those green top pitches, and then we'll see what happens. But yeah, coming to the end of this episode, I think we need to talk about the fact that India possibly could bat England out of the game. Like you mentioned, it could be all over. And here, the bubble factor again comes into the picture. If things don't go England's way, I mean, if they don't pick out Pujara and Rohit and Virat early, they don't get deep into the Indian batting, and if India run away with the game, they get 350 on board. I'm not even talking about 450, 500. If the conditions stay as they are today, and if India can see off Anderson's initial spell tomorrow morning, remember this is 9:30 a.m. start, so, and it's still newish. I mean, India have played how many overs? India have played just the 12 overs.
12.
So yeah, so it's still newish. There will be an important Anderson spell tomorrow morning. And if Pujara and Sharma can survive that, it could be a long day of batting for India. I fear for England's morale. I think shoulders will droop. And because of the bubble and because the series is almost gone, it could be a damaging day for England tomorrow.
Well, it could be. It could be. I mean, the slight difference for a lot of the players is that they're still going to be out there because there's a white ball, there's a white ball segment still to come. So some of them, you know, it's not about thinking about the plane. For some of them, there might be an element of that. You're right, I think, that we often say it, but the first hour of the day is going to be really important. The conditions will be as good then for Anderson, probably as at any point in the day, you would imagine. But the advantage that India have got is that they can do what a lot of sides do with Anderson, actually, which is that they studiously see him off. The Australians did it in Australia four years ago. And they sort of were doing that again today, weren't they? Played him really studiously, didn't concede a run. So, you know, I think they have the advantage of being able to say, right, well, we shut up shop at one end. We know that Anderson's only going to bowl five overs. Then we wait, we're in. And then we can have a go after Bess and Leach. There were some promising signs from Bess, I would say. I mean, he's still bowling too many short balls. His first ball was a no ball. but the thing is, he is an aggressive spinner. And it could be that on this pitch, where you might need to do a bit more with the ball than you did in the last game, that aggressive spin option might reap dividends. Let's not forget, he took 17 wickets in the three tests he played this winter, an average of 25, 26 or so. So he'll be hopeful. But on the balance of possibilities, you would say tomorrow looks like being India's day. If it is, then it looks like therefore being India's series and the World Test Championship final. So we'll know an awful lot more this time tomorrow, Chetan, that's for sure.
Absolutely. And we'll hope that our listeners and our audience will continue to join us. And we hope to bring you, like I said, more than at least two episodes from this test match. And it looks likely that it will happen. We'll at least get a third episode in, at least. And we hope that you can continue to join us. Until then, Chetan Narula and Daniel Norcross signing off. Goodbye.